In a busy world, the Middle East has not been a top priority for this White House. But today, President Biden starts a four-day trip there, his first to the Mideast since taking office. Here he is in Jerusalem.
I'm proud to say that our relationship with the State of Israel is deeper and stronger, in my view, than it's ever been. And with this visit, we're strengthening our connections even further.
Later this week, he is off to the occupied West Bank and then Saudi Arabia. Daniel Estrin is NPR's international correspondent, and he's in Jerusalem covering the visit. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Scott.
Bone deep. Those are the words President Biden used to describe U.S.-Israeli ties upon landing there today. What will he try to achieve in Israel?
That's right. He's trying to reassure Israelis is what he's trying to do. We saw him being very chummy with Israeli officials on the tarmac, a lot of fist bumps. And Israelis are still sizing him up. You know, many Israelis were enthusiastic about former President Trump, who sided with Israel and not the Palestinians on a lot of contested issues. And so, you know, as the deputy mayor of Jerusalem told me a couple days ago, Israelis would like to believe Biden has their back. So that's what Biden is trying to do, set a good first impression. Mm-hmm. He is going to be releasing a statement with the Israelis outlining their relationship between the U.S. and Israel in the coming years. That's an attempt at reaching some mutual understandings where there are still a lot of differences, especially about the Iran nuclear deal, which Biden supports and Israel is wary about.
On Friday, the president is planning to meet with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in the occupied West Bank. This level of engagement with the Palestinians is a departure from the Trump administration. What will Biden have to offer the Palestinians?
Well, that's a tricky one because, you know, after the Trump administration sidelined Palestinians, the U.S. Mm-hmm. now wants to rebalance its relationship with the Palestinians. But quite frankly, Biden is kind of boxed in. It's politically sensitive for him now to reopen diplomatic offices for Palestinians in Jerusalem and in Washington. And then legislation that Trump himself signed into office limits the kinds of support that the U.S. can offer Palestinians. One thing that the U.S. can do is offer funding to hospitals, and that is what Biden is expected to do. He's expected to announce $100 million to Palestinian hospitals. But Biden is not launching a peace process. That's what he said today, that a Palestinian state is not on the horizon anytime soon. So we're going to see some goodwill gestures, is what Israel calls it, for Palestinians. None of this really offers Palestinians any sense that the U.S. is pushing for a clear political track to solving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Well, as you're mentioning, the White House is lowering expectations for deliverables, as they say, in general on this trip. But Israel is seeking a broader integration with the Arab world. Can the president help speed that up?
Speed up, I'm not sure. I think it's a little bit about slow and steady.
Okay.
Israel wants Biden to advance Israeli-Saudi normalization, as they call it, formal diplomatic ties, after the Abraham Accords, the deals between Israel and some Arab countries in recent years. Mm-hmm. There is some talk about some steps, like maybe an air defense cooperation between Israel and the region. It's a little bit premature right now. So small steps, but not a big Israel-Saudi deal yet.
Saudi Arabia is, of course, the last step on this trip. Saudi Arabia is a huge oil exporter, and we know where crude oil prices in the world are right now. You know, the U.S. relationship with Saudi Arabia has long been underpinned by this notion of security in exchange for energy. Is that still an important subtext here?
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, the question is whether Saudi Arabia's output of oil can actually impact gas prices. Biden has been very clear that domestic U.S. concerns, namely high oil prices and gas prices, are what is behind a lot of this trip. And I don't think we're going to hear any announcements about Saudi oil production until the end of the trip, until the Saudis see how President Biden greets, for instance, the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, who the U.S. has implicated in the killing of dissident Jamal Khashoggi.
Well, and President Biden, in his campaign, famously called Saudi Arabia a pariah in the world. So now, given he's planning to meet the Saudi Crown Prince, how is the White House trying to finesse this messaging?
Well, Biden put it in a Washington Post op-ed over the weekend. He said that the U.S. is not seeking to rupture ties with Saudi Arabia. And he said it's interests that when you look at the world and when the U.S. wants to counter Russia and to outpace and outcompete China, that the U.S. needs Saudi Arabia on its side for that. What a lot of us are going to be looking at is what kind of interaction Biden will have with the Crown Prince, MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, perhaps an uncomfortable meeting with the Saudi Crown Prince.
That is Daniel Estrin, NPR's international correspondent in Jerusalem, following the president's visit to the Middle East. Daniel, thank you.
You're welcome.